Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Well, how about volunteers? Is it easy for you to get volunteers for your nonprofit?
So we are currently now outreaching for volunteers. We did put out a volunteer application. I wanted to make sure that before we tapped into volunteers that we were ready for volunteers, because you have to manage volunteers the same way you manage staff. And we also needed to have work lined up for them. You know, where is the need? Where can volunteers help? And obviously volunteers can help with events, with outreach, with getting the work that we're doing out into the community, whether it's their local community, whether it's via social media. They can help with fresh food delivery if they are in the area as well. So we recently started putting out applications for that. And we've been lucky within past couple of weeks, we've gotten a handful of volunteers. We actually did an interview this morning, and we're going to be bringing one on to help us in the office.
That's amazing. I actually have marketing courses for event marketing that I'll be launching. I'll just share it with you. I'll give you access. You could share it with that person and they can get ideas as to how to do outreach and bring more awareness, create more traffic and all of that. Now, in terms of volunteering, it's so funny. My last interview, and I'm this whole week we're interviewing nonprofit organizations. And my last interview was with a woman who started a nonprofit her nonprofit is based on connecting volunteers with other nonprofits. I'm going to share her information, her company information. And if you basically you go list what type of volunteers you want, and she is connected to volunteers worldwide, and then they'll just come and I guess reach out to you if they're interested in
awesome.
It. It's awesome. So amazing. I was like, wow, that's an interesting thought. And she said, yeah, well, I wanted to do something good for the community. And I found that a lot of the biggest pain is finding the right volunteers. And so she said, I decided to come up with that solution. And so, you know, I find myself sort of discussing this with all the other nonprofit organizations. I'm like, if you need a volunteer, there's this company, you know, so it's kind of fun to get everyone together on, you know, help each other. If listeners wanted to donate, be involved, where would they go? How would they reach you?
Everything is on our website, www.fibro.org. They can also reach out to me via email and I can send them any link to any of the applications or any information. That is mvelez@fibro.org. And also via social media. We're on all social media outlets. Hashtag FibroCares.
Awesome. And I'll have everything in the show notes as well, but I'm so happy that we have more time and I'm going to ask you a little bit more questions, but I like to sort of let the listeners know. And then at the end, we'll again, remind them where they can go to sponsor you, support you, or even join you as volunteers. Now, social media, how would you say, has it helped you? Has it been, you know, have you dabbled into influencers that might be dealing with it and speaking about it, that they could maybe help you create more awareness?
So yes, via social media has been like the best marketing, social media promotional tool for us, especially during the pandemic when no one was going out. We had a virtual walk that year. We had a virtual award ceremony that year, and we did everything via social media. We have dabbled into influencers, and we have reached out to influencers in the past. We haven't had much luck recently, but again, I think that we're trending that way in 2022, and we're going to see a lot of growth this year. I feel it. I see it coming. I hear it. And I believe that we will see more influencers coming on. And I'll put out that call to action now. I know we'll do it later, but I want to put it out now as well. Yeah. If you are a person living with fibromyalgia and you are an influencer, please reach out to us. We can partner and we can use the help in getting our message across and what we're doing in the fibromyalgia community.
Yeah, because I think with influencers, and you know, we've done a lot of different marketing, but I think when it comes to influencers, if they have, especially micro influencers, the ones with the smaller followers tend to make a greater impact. Their engagement is better with their audiences, so it tends to work much, much better. The bigger you go, the higher their followers, the less engagement they have. So I would say focus on the smaller influencers and just, you know, reach out, DM them and say, hey, you know, it's a great organization. And if you're dealing with it, come speak or do a story promoting the upcoming fundraiser or whatever. I think that would be awesome. When it comes to marketing, you know, what else would you, or what else have you done that was successful or wasn't successful that you would tell people to steer away from?
I don't want to say we haven't been successful in any of our marketing. And I think we've tried it all. We've done, you know, social media, we've gone to the basics with putting flyers in our local communities and me just sharing flyers and people going and putting flyers up in laundromats and bodegas, anywhere that would allow them to put up a flyer. We also did a campaign that was very successful with Investors Bank. They put up these butterfly images for us in their local branches. And they told people about us, which sold people about us. And people were able to donate, you know, a dollar, whatever they wanted to the cause. And that year we had people that came to our walk and to our run that were people living with fibromyalgia that said, I only knew you existed because I saw this butterfly at the local branch. And I said, oh my God, what's that butterfly? It's beautiful. What's this about? And then, you know, the person at the branch explained, and they're like, I'm a person living with fibromyalgia and I didn't even know this organization existed. So I think we've tried it all and it's been successful in different ways. It's, you know, success is measured in different ways. So it's been successful, but just in different ways. Some of it has been financial. Some of it has been getting more of the people that to know about us. And some of it has been also, you know, the families to get to know about us, but then are going back to the person and saying, hey, I saw this in the local laundromat and maybe you should reach out because you're a person living with fibromyalgia.
Right. It's just amazing when you start something with a good, and it looks like you have your why. So your why is so clear. It just somehow the universe and the people, it all comes together and people start helping and it just grows and grows. Tell me a little bit about the programs that you offer.
We have I'll start off with some stuff that we do via virtually and we do via social media. We have a newsletter that we send out monthly, and that newsletter is bilingual. And that was very big for us. And we wanted it to be bilingual because myself and the editor are both women, Latina women. Nice. And we both went back to our grandmothers and we said, you know, what if my grandmother was living with fibromyalgia? And here we are putting out information in English and they would not be able to read it. And we also went back to, you know, having to go to the doctor's office with our grandmothers to translate because there was no one at the doctor's office that can speak to them or could translate for them. So we didn't want to have that obstacle for our community or that hurdle for our community. We wanted to make sure that we can put out bilingual information and that goes out monthly. And if you're on our mailing list, you'll receive it. It also gets put out via social media. We have a podcast, which is called Fibro Friends Podcast. It's on Spotify, on Apple, and on a few other things that I'm blanking on now, but it is on Spotify and Apple, and you can also link to it from our website. And that is three young people that were, they laughed because they were known as the Fibro Youth Advocates because they were youth when they came to me. They are in their late 20s, but they were mostly teenagers or in their early 20s when they first started helping us. And they speak about everything fibro. It's just a conversation. They speak about the things that they wish they had. And they also interview people on their podcast as well. They've interviewed a doctor. They've interviewed myself. They've interviewed men living with fibromyalgia also to bring that face to these discussions as well. And then we have the Virtual Coordinated Care Program, which is just launched early January. So it's only a month young.
Wow.
Which is my biggest pride and joy right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. There is no other virtual coordinated care program in the nation doing what we're doing. It's all being brought virtually to people's home. That was very, very intentional because we know that many people living with fibromyalgia are bedridden or don't know how they're going to feel from day to day. And when I first imagined that program, I imagined a brick and mortar where people would come to receive the services. But right. The more I thought about it and the more the pandemic showed us we can do things virtually, it was like, this actually would be best for our people because they don't have to leave their home to participate in this program. And if they're not feeling well, they can still log on and say, I'm having a bad day. And through, you know, the peer-to-peer support, they can get that day other tools that can help them. Through that program, they get one-on-one telehealth sessions. So there is a social worker that will do talk therapy with them. They are assigned a case manager, and we also have holistic groups that we run that help them learn how to manage the nervous system and the nervous system condition. And that is like my biggest pride and joy. It's a month young, but we are already seeing the impact. We've had people that are applying for jobs that are like, I'm going back into the work field because I know I can do this. They're feeling empowered. Yeah. We're having people that are, getting the assistance they needed to apply for unemployment because of the cognitive impairment. They're like, I know I qualify for unemployment, but I'm scared to put in this application because what if I mess it up? We have people that are saying, you know, now I've been able to discuss what life feels like for me and with my family. So, you know, last week I spent time with my family in a different way because now they're understanding more what life is like for me. And this is just within a month. So I'm really, really excited to see, you know, by the time graduation comes, which could be 6 months to a year, depending on the individual, where each person, the goals that each person meets by the time they graduate the program.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations. That's huge. And I think when we think of the pandemic, this is a great example of how a positive person took this situation and turned it into something that is so amazing that's actually solving the problem, right? Because you're doing it virtually. And if it wasn't for the pandemic, most people wouldn't even know what Zoom is and know how to get on Zoom. And now I think almost everybody, even our grandparents, know how to Zoom, which makes it really possible. Now, in terms of the therapists and the volunteer holistic doctors and so on, are they part of your organization or are they external entities that just volunteer to help you?
So it's a combination. So the social worker that is with us is actually a social work student that is doing it through an internship, but is being supervised by a licensed certified social worker, which is part of what is required. We do have case management and outreach. That is, those are paid positions through our organization. Myself, I am receiving a salary as well. And then we have some people that volunteer for spirituality groups. We have a person that volunteers to lead a meditation group. And then we have people that come in and do nutritional webinars that are also volunteers through ShopRite that volunteer to do the nutrition aspect of it. So it's a combination of all.
Nice. And my next question, actually, you just mentioned it. Webinars. Do you do a lot of webinars to attract more people that have fibromyalgia?
So we have not done a lot of webinars in the past. We are discussing those right now. The webinars are more for the folks that are in the program, specifically involved in the program. But we have dabbled around doing more of those via social media so that we can open it up to a much larger audience.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the example of my other company, which is a CBD brand. And, you know, I started the CBD product line because I wanted it to be THC free so that I could treat my hemiplegic migraines. And then, you know, and anxiety was the second reason. And when the pandemic started, a lot of people started dealing with anxiety, and I have I've had a few people complaining and saying, you know, how they go to therapists, it's great, but then they don't want to take the medication that they're, you know, given, and so on. And so all of a sudden it got me thinking, where I'm like, well, what if I bring doctors together and find the latest research on CBD and do these webinars, these workshops, to be able to help the community, you know, just share information, tell them the latest study on CBD and the impact, and so on. And so we ended up partnering with a few doctors and did these wellness workshops behind our flagship store. The first 3 months we did it in person, but then our space was somewhat limited, so we ended up going virtual to be able to expand it and share it with more people. And I'll tell you, obviously my mission for that was to reach out to the community and help them with anxiety. And the therapists and the doctors that came on board were simply talking about it and offering all their expertise and tips and things, how to deal with anxiety. And then they talked about CBD, and I just briefly talked about why our brand is different from others and how it does not have THC and what the benefits are, and so on. And I'll tell you, it created so much awareness, just not just for the doctors, but for our brand as well, because all we did was give, and we did not take anything. We weren't selling anything. If anything, I was giving out free products. So, you know, and the doctors were giving out their time. And that has helped us so much. And I feel like anybody like yourself who's out there and wanting to share their struggles with others and let others know that they're not alone and they can potentially come to this organization and find the help that they're looking for and get the support that they want. Webinars have been amazing, because once you start a webinar, you list it on places like Eventbrite and events.com, you're exposing yourself nationwide to people that are searching for the keywords, and you're being able to reach people outside of your community. And so I highly recommend that. And like I said, I do have I like to sort of, it's not really recording, but it sort of is. I like to just, as we do, because my profession is a marketing executive, and I personally, anything that works, we keep track of it and what steps we took and so on. So I ended up putting together like a 20-minute video tutorial teaching people how to do a webinar and how to market it, how to get people to come to the webinar, and so on. So I'll be happy to share that with you, so that if you have volunteers that are going to come on board and help you with that, they can know exactly what places to go and list and promote and so on. It's, everything is free to do. There are so many amazing websites that are exposed to so many people, and all you have to do is list it there for free and you get the exposure that you need.
Thank you. I would love that. I appreciate that. And I would also appreciate, you know, if you have these, when you have these webinars, again, letting us know, because people in my community are always asking about CBD.
We'll do. And that was going to be my next question. Do you know any studies? I personally, you know a lot of studies anxiety related, and they're in phase 3 and 4, which according to the doctors that are partnered with us, and by partnering with us, we did not pay them nothing. They simply volunteered to be part of the webinar. And they always mention that in the webinar, that they were not paid to come here and speak. They are speaking because they see that it's working and they've seen the studies. And as a doctor, it's their responsibility to share the latest things that are working for people and anxiety. So I'm really educated on how it helps anxiety and the phases and the testing and everything that it's still going through. But I don't know with fibromyalgia, if there are any case research going on, anything that's been in the works.
So I know the most recent study that I've heard of that is in the works is a study that Tonix Pharmaceuticals is conducting. They were given money, I believe, through the FDA. I'm sorry if I'm quoting that wrong. I believe that's through where. And it is on the effects of long COVID and fibromyalgia. So what we are seeing now is that long haulers are developing what they're calling COVID fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. And it sort of makes sense. You know, from the beginning, I said, you know, the root cause is trauma. And many of us just went through a collective trauma with the pandemic. It was very, very scary. And I know it's still scary today, but in the beginning, it was like, you know, the world shut down. You're in your home. There's this scary virus out there. Some people were being diagnosed with it and being sent home to isolate by themselves in their room. They didn't know the outcome. Am I going to survive this or not? That's a trauma. That's a traumatic event. So it makes sense that people would develop fibromyalgia or that the nervous system would be impacted in that way.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you, Millie.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.